Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Ian Pickus. Baseball is just around the corner, but the season is starting on a down note in Pawtucket, Rhode Island, on news that a new ownership group plans to move the AAA Red Sox affiliate to a waterfront park in Providence in 2017. The Pawtucket Red Sox have been a fixture at McCoy Stadium for 45 years, and it's a blow to a city that already lost most of its industrial identity. The team is best known for playing in the longest baseball game ever, a 33-inning affair in 1981 that's the subject of Dan Barry's magnificent book, Bottom of the 33rd, Hope and Redemption in Baseball's Longest Game. We discussed it in a 2011 interview, but with the Paw Sox back in the news, including an essay from Barry in the New York Times, where he's a columnist, it seemed like a good time to welcome him back to the roundtable.
Thank you for having me, Ian.
What's your reaction to the news that the Sox seem to be on their way out of town?
The first reaction is the cold hard truth that baseball is a business, always, you know. And then after that, my heart breaks for Pawtucket and for the people I know who are so married to and faithful to McCoy Stadium, which has been a part of Pawtucket for more than 70 years.
You spent a lot of reporting time there. Give us a sense of what a game day in Pawtucket is like.
I would first say, and people who go to Major League games will appreciate this, the first thing to know is that the parking is free. So right off the bat, you are welcomed in a way. The seats are very cheap. A box seat, I think, only costs $13. So if you go with your family, so you go with a family of four or six, it's not going to cause you to stop at a pawn shop on the way. So right off the bat, it's cheap and accessible. Then there is a lot of community engagement, okay? So you'll see Boy Scout troops in right field, and you'll see Girl Scout troops in left field, and you'll see a kid from Cumberland or from Woonsocket or from Pawtucket throwing out the first pitch. And then you'll see maybe your daughter, who has a wonderful voice, singing the national anthem. And then on the Jumbotron, you'll be seeing all sorts of announcements about birthdays and military service and weddings. And so there's an absolute sense of place. And then after that, the way the stadium is structured and the way that the owners have run the business these past 30 years or 40 years, the emphasis is on baseball. It's just pure high-level professional baseball there at an affordable price. And that is hard to come by, I think.
I want to ask you a little bit about the ownership situation, because the news of the potential move to Providence comes just after the team was sold by the widow of the longtime owner. Tell us about him and what his approach to owning this team had been.
Sure. His name was Ben Mondor. And he was an extremely poor kid from Quebec who came down and settled in Woonsocket, Rhode Island, with his family, you know, classic mill workers. He worked his way up. He became a very successful businessman, turning around businesses, turning around mills and making a profit. And in 1976, the AAA franchise for the Boston Red Sox was all but bankrupt, and the baseball universe didn't know what to do, so some people came calling to Mondor saying, help us, please. And he resisted, in part because he really knew very little about baseball, and he also thought that McCoy Stadium was a dump. But he finally relented and agreed to try and turn the franchise around, which he did. And he did this by first changing the nature of the stadium. It had been a place for rowdies to go and have cheap beers and yell foul things at the ball players. It was kind of like, you know, therapeutic, I suppose, for a certain group, but it wasn't family friendly. So he rousted those people out and started making sure that the community knew it was safe to bring your kids here. It's cheap, and he would be standing out in front of the stadium, shaking your hand, giving little trinkets to your kids, welcoming you in. And he hired, wisely, two young men named Mike Tamburo and Lou Schweckheimer, who also understood that family entertainment or an emphasis on baseball would be a profitable and welcome business model. And so they stuck to it in some lean years, and then it began to take root, And by the early 2000s, it may have been the most successful AAA team in the International League. And so that's what Mondor did. And he passed away in 2010, and then Tamburo and Schweckheimer continued in that Ben Mondor vein.
In your Times essay on the news, you allow that maybe it was time for the team to go. And, you know, minor league baseball is a very transient thing in most places. But what do you think the impact will be on the city once the team does go, if it does go?
Right. Again, it's a business decision. It's hard to argue that McCoy isn't an old stadium that constantly needs renovations. And it's not the most accessible stadium. It's kind of in the middle of a neighborhood, a couple of miles from an interstate. But it really only takes about 5 minutes to get there from the interstate. I think the impact on Pawtucket and the psyche of Pawtucket is significant, unfortunately. I think over the past half century, Pawtucket has suffered various losses and has struggled through various recessions, trying to rebrand itself or find its footing after the textile industry went south. And that's what Pawtucket had been known for. So, you know, it lost its zoo, it lost some business downtown, and it took great pride in being able to say that it was the home of McCoy Stadium, that it was the home to the Pawtucket Red Sox, and that kind of Boston royalty was granted to Pawtucket. You know, people in Charlotte and Indianapolis and in Syracuse and around the country would say Pawtucket in the context of baseball. And so now that's gone. So now Pawtucket, or it seems to be gone. I think the new owners are saying they would like to be out of McCoy within 3 years. That's tough on Pawtucket, I think, because now you have a big stadium that, for which there's no clear use, and your identity just went south.
Well, Dan Barry is the author of Bottom of the 33rd, Hope and Redemption in Baseball's Longest Game, and other books, and you can read his column in the New York Times. He joined us to talk about the apparent ending of the Pawtucket Red Sox in a couple seasons from now. Dan, I just think you're a treasure, so thanks for coming on.
Okay, Ian, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
And you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.